Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, I'm looking at the picture right now, color photo, that supposedly looks like Nefertiti. And I don't know how or to what degree it's enhanced. But yeah, I would have the same question. Why would it resemble at all an Egyptian figure and not something else?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, architecture from Rome, ancient Greece, you're not seeing similarities on Mars there. But we are seeing things that superficially look like pyramids. And there's also the Twin Peaks photograph, which seems to show in the distance, if you blow it up, it kind of looks like a sphinx on Mars. You know, you've got like the body and the head and almost like the paws poking out. A lot of it really does come down to how, you know, the individual interprets this, because the big issue, of course, is that we cannot get there and see them. And again, I don't think this was down to cover-up. When NASA finally got around to, you know, taking pictures of the face on Mars for a second time, there was a reluctance to do that, and a lot of people said, you know, they're hiding something. I don't think that was the case. I think NASA was just tired of hearing about the face on Mars and just didn't want to do it. You know, I can't blame them. You know, from their perspective, they're scientists. They're not looking for, you know, they're not sort of alien seekers, ancient alien seekers. They're scientists. They're technicians. You know, I don't see any conspiracy in NASA not wanting to do this. I think they were just sort of pissed that people were trying to bully them into photographing the face again, and they, you know, they're sort of arms folded and reluctant and finally decided to do it to shut people up, not because they were hiding anything.
It is interesting, though, that they're doing any of this at all. When you think about it, this kind of hit me about it just a couple of weeks ago, because there was another article about some space probe that they sent out, and I thought, well, I didn't even know about that one. It was one that had gone out to Saturn, and these things are horrendously expensive. And the one, the Curiosity rover, that part of that one, they said that the descent stage, they just essentially jettisoned it off and let it crash into Mars. And I'm like, you know, they spend like, what, hundreds of millions of dollars doing this, and then they just, what, they just take part of it and crash it? It's, there's just something about this that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think they are looking for something that is more than just an interesting geological formation. I think they are trying to find real evidence of other life on other worlds, if they can. Maybe when they go out to the asteroid belt, they're looking for meteors or meteorites to eventually mine. But I really do think there probably is, even if it's unsaid or it's unspoken, they're hoping to find it. And they think it's out there, and they are looking.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that there's no doubt in my mind that NASA is legitimately looking for life on Mars. But I think what they view as evidence of life on Mars is very different to what I believe is evidence of life on Mars. And so for them, they're still looking, having found nothing. And I've gone through, you know, thousands of photographs, which makes me believe that there actually is evidence there, and NASA have found it, even though they don't agree that it actually shows what it seems to show. Now, of course, you know, that kind of debate can go on forever. And again, primarily because Mars is so far away, and unless the rovers and the, you know, the orbiters are in the right place at the right time, you know, you're not really going to see what you hope to see, or in NASA's case, which they don't care to see. So you know, this is what you're sort of up to, is we're talking about an ancient mystery, you know, and the evidence for whatever it may be is an incredible distance away, and we're reliant upon a handful of pictures of this image, of that image, and then click your fingers because that's it, you know. And so, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, which I've done, and I've demonstrated, you know, the problems with getting to Mars, the problems of analyzing the pictures and all of this, you know, I'm not coming from the perspective of some sort of ranting paranoid person who, you know, sort of screaming and shouting every time somebody says, no, that's just, you know, that's pareidolia, that's all it is, you know.
No, not at all, Nick. Like you've never been known to be like that. You know, like, it's my experience, anyway.
Some people, I think, probably, you know, I think it's like a sensationalized story. It isn't. As I said, there's an entire chapter on anomalies, which I think are absolutely not anomalies, you know, because to sort of support every one of these anomalies, you know, you'd have to look at the person and say, well, hang on a minute, they're just buying into everything. And when you buy into everything, you know, that really does kind of smack of Fox Mulder, you know, I want to believe. And we can't do that. There was a bit of feedback on some comments I'd made in the book on some of the things, like, for example, somebody thought what in one of the pictures that it showed like an ancient helmet of some sort of, you know, like a bronze helmet that a, you know, that a warrior would wear, and I just don't buy into that. For example, I mean, I can see why they think that's what it is, but there's a few sort of lumpy parts here and there which make me think it's just, you know, a piece of rock.
And of course, there have also been completely hoaxed photos too that have shown up on the internet that, you know, have not come from NASA, where people who, you know, want to feed into this idea, they do that. And I'm sure that doesn't help, just like there's faked UFO photos. It doesn't mean there's not real ones.
No, you're right. And, I mean, there's others like that do intrigue me. Like, for example, on both Mars and on one of its moons, Phobos, these are legitimate pictures from NASA. They seem to show kind of similar, like little, almost, I wouldn't say statues, but sort of plaques almost, you know, kind of like the one in 2001, A Space Odyssey, you know, when at the start you've got these very primitive humans and, you know, this monolith suddenly turns up and, you know, sort of upgrades their intelligence. And, well, you can see very identical, almost identical ones in some of the NASA pictures, one on Phobos and one on Mars. And again, you know, Google Mars, Phobos, monolith, and you'll see them. Even Buzz Aldrin, you know, was impressed by those from the perspective of actually seeming to have been sort of created intelligently rather than just, you know, a rock. I mean, they both look like tall pillars just standing there carved, you know, like I said, like a monolith, really.
Yeah, there's no question that there's some really interesting stuff going on there. And to me, you know, I might be actually willing to go maybe a bit of a step further than even yourself to some extent. I mean, I know that, you know, you kind of resist the idea of the sort of the conspiracy aspect of things, but I can't help but think that with all of the explorations that they've done and all of the detection equipment that they've got, and I'm talking about the scientific community in general, including the military, and NASA is, I believe, is sort of quasi-military, if not still run in part by the Department of Defense. I mean, I think they probably do have stuff that nobody's seen.
You know, we're going to have something else that nobody has seen in just a moment here. Then we'll continue with our friend Nick Redfern with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Nick Redfern, the book is The Martians, about all the incredible Martian mysteries. Now, just to bring this back a little bit, too, since we've been talking about the face on Mars and all this stuff, are you familiar with the book Death on Mars, The Discovery of a Planetary Nuclear Massacre from John Brandenburg?
Yes, yeah.
What's your take on this theory?
Well, I mean, I find that interesting because, you know, it's talking about essentially parallels between, you know, the sort of devastation as what happens, you know, with an atomic weapon, a nuclear weapon on Earth, you know, the fallout and the, well, not just the fallout, but I mean, you know, you've got the way in which a blast occurs and things like this. And if you look at the parallels that he's made between the scenario of like an atomic explosion on Mars and then paralleling it with what we know about nuclear weapons today, you can make a case that the destruction was done under both circumstances, you know, one circumstance, but under two different situations. So I think, you know, he's done some intriguing work. I mean, for example, you know, when the first atomic bomb went off at the Trinity site in New Mexico in 1945, you know, there was a lot of debate as to what might happen or what might not happen. They weren't 100% sure, you know. But one of the things that nobody really sort of foresaw to a significant degree was the sudden creation of what's known as trinitite. And basically, when you've got a sandy environment and you detonate an atomic weapon, it gets the sandy ground gets so heated that it turns into like a green glass. And it's called trinitite because the site was the Trinity site where they blasted the first atomic bomb. Now, you can actually find identical phenomena to trinitite in Egypt, in Australia, and, you know, when you put those two issues together, at the very least, I mean, it's intriguing. Even, for example, if you look at the story, you'll see that none other than Tutankhamun actually wore a piece of, you know, similar to trinitite as a necklace. And that's pretty amazing. That's a true story. Now, when you look at this angle of ancient trinitite being found in the Middle East and also in Australia, and then, you know, you've got Brandenburg's research, it kind of does suggest that maybe in the distant past there really were civilizations like ours, maybe, you know, Martians, maybe even Martians who came here and were perceived as gods, you know, and ended up in localized nuclear wars, you know, and you put all that together, and which I did, you know, I've got a chapter in the book on the idea or the scenario of ancient nuclear war, and possibly with the so-called gods having been Martians that fled their world when things spiraled into, you know, sort of chaos.
Well, isn't the book The Sky People from Brinsley Labore Trench that speculated on the Garden of Eden being on another world, maybe Mars?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the problem for us today is that, you know, a lot of the legends are sort of so simplistic, or part of the history and the story of it is gone, you know. I mean, look, if you look at, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, you know, from the perspective of the Old Testament, this is sort of the wrath of God, you know, and destroying the cities. But from a simplistic kind of description, but if you look into it deeper, you could make a good case that, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by localized, the smaller, if you like, atomic nuclear weapons. And, you know, the whole angle of Lot's wife, you know, being turned to a pillar of salt, you know, that kind of thing, and vaporized.
It's really eerie, actually. I mean, when you think of, you know, okay, you've got Sodom and Gomorrah, and you've got Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? And you've got shadows etched into stone of people there that are there to this day. So, yeah, it is pretty weird that the similarities, where would they even come up with the idea for a story like that long ago if there wasn't, you know, something?
Yeah. And, of course, the important thing to note is that, if this was just sort of, like, say, I don't know, like a meteorite strike, you know, which is not impossible, you know, maybe in the distant past there was sort of a meteorite strike, it slammed into the ground, there was so much heat going through the atmosphere that it could have created trinitite, that kind, or an equivalent. You know, I'm not writing that off, but what I would say, it would be extremely coincidental if these were just random asteroids or meteorites and they just happened to hit cities rather than just any part of wasteland around the world.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot
yeah.
of people don't realize that there are actually five cities were targeted for destruction. It wasn't one of them survived, but it actually wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know, other parts of the world as well. You can find massive destruction, you know, stories like the Mahabharata, which I know has a lot of controversy about it, you know, the Indian Mahabharata. Some people think, you know, that kind of depicts or, you know, tells the story of an ancient nuclear war. Other researchers say no. But, you know, the debate is there, though. So
oh, certainly.
It wouldn't
and,
surprise
and,
me, you know.
Yeah, and you have, well, I mean, in those myths, I mean, you know, if there's any truth to them at all, I mean, there were people who were informed beforehand that it was going to happen, and it was going to happen in these places. So that doesn't sound very random to me.
No, it doesn't. And so, I mean, we sort of got threads, you know, and theories here. But if you put all this together, you know, the CIA stuff, Ingo Swann, you know, the issue of the Martians looking very much like us, but extremely tall, etc., etc. You know, whether you buy into it or not, you can make a case of, you know, sort of worldwide disaster, planet-wide disaster on Mars, the fleeing of a significant number to the Earth, and being perceived as gods when they actually were not gods. And, you know, you've got the, I won't say the sudden, but you've certainly got the development of legends around the world of giants popping up here and popping up there. Now, that doesn't prove anything at all, but you can make a very intriguing scenario, and maybe somewhere between an intriguing scenario and, you know, the legends and the folklore and mythology, that we do have some sort of degree of reality there.
We've got more legends and reality from here, and then we'll get on with Nick and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Declaring victory. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden declared victory in the 2020 election Saturday after multiple media outlets called Pennsylvania for him. President Donald Trump is still disputing the results in several states as the campaign has filed legal challenges in Arizona and Pennsylvania and is asking for a recount in Wisconsin. Speaking to supporters Saturday night, Biden said he'd work to win the confidence of all Americans.
I pledge to be a president who seeks not to divide, but unify. Who doesn't see red states and blue states, only sees the United States. And work with all my heart, with the confidence of the whole people, to win the confidence of all of you.
USA Radio News has not called the race for Biden, but will wait until all legal challenges are resolved. This is USA Radio News. Rescue workers are searching for more than 100 people feared buried in a landslide in Guatemala, triggered by Hurricane Eta. 15 people are confirmed dead in the town of San Cristobal Verapaz, with another 109 still missing. Eta has moved back into the Caribbean Sea and re-strengthened into a tropical storm. It's currently heading for Cuba and is expected to turn north late Sunday, where it could further strengthen back into a Category 1 hurricane and threaten the Florida Keys and southern coast of the state. Speaking at a press conference in Philadelphia, President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says the Trump campaign will continue to dispute the election results in Pennsylvania. Alleging that Republican observers were not allowed to watch the counting of ballots, Giuliani said the campaign would be taking further legal action.
And we have no way of knowing, because we were deprived of the right to inspect, if a single one of those ballots is legitimate. That is unheard of, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and we will be bringing an action challenging that. And I emphasize to you, it's only one of the many other infirmities in this election.
This is USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Nick Redfern, author of The Martians. I'm interested in the timing here. The implication from Dr. Brandenburg's book is that this happened long, long, long ago. But if these are legends that get into the Bible and other texts, it would mean a few thousand years ago. What? 3,000, 2,500, whatever. That would mean that this catastrophe on Mars is very, very recent. And would that explain the state of the planet now? All this devastation just did far worse than we'd ever expect?
Well, yeah, I mean, I reference that in the book as well. I think the exact words are something like, you know, the time frame. I say something like it's totally chaotic, you know, when we try and put the full picture together. Now, one of the scenarios I presented as a scenario was that, yes, you know, it's possible that, you know, something happened to Mars, the Martians fled to the Earth, and, you know, that could have been 100,000 years ago. However, that doesn't take away the fact that further on down the line, then that could have been when, you know, sort of an ancient nuclear war occurred. In other words, I'm not saying that the Martians came to the Earth hundreds of thousands of years ago, and within days of, you know, landing, they screwed up our planet as well. You know, there could have been tens of thousands of years of just paradise and no problems, and like on our Earth, you know, on our planet. But then, for the most part, but then, you know, something goes wrong. And which stories in the ancient past are likely to be put down, you know, on papyrus or on stones, etc.? Which ones are most likely to be written down are going to be the significant events in society, in their society? You know, they wouldn't be putting down everything, little thing that's going on every day. Oh, I walk the dog, you know, whatever.
Well, speak for yourself. Some people do that. The time factor is interesting, which is here, these legends, how far back do we really trace them? Because we assume the Bible is something that has been passed on from generation to generation and possibly even rewritten, manipulated to be more acceptable. We can't tell how far this came back. Would the legends of Atlantis and Lemuria, all this stuff, the Shaver mystery, all that, it didn't take place on Earth, it took place on Mars.
Well, yeah, you're right. And I mean, the time frame for all this, you know, a lot of people, not just on the Martian mysteries, but also with the Old Testament, you know, they will say, you know, they know the time frame when this happened. Well, they may have a good idea, or they may not have a good idea. But the fact is, you know, when we start going back into, you know, ancient times and when human civilization started to, you know, develop, etc., I mean, there's a lot of issues when it comes to trying to, you know, put specific dates to specific, you know, sort of ancient events. You know, it's hard to say for sure. In that sense, I agree that time frames, you know, that is a big issue. If you're talking about, you know, one civilization coming from there to here, et cetera, et cetera. But again, I mean, something like Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a simplistic story when you read it. It's not like we're talking about a 400-page book about how it all happened. In fact, the story itself, you know, it doesn't take long to read. And so, in that sense, you know, it really does simplify the story into, you know, what could be a story from 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, or was it actually just an inherited story that maybe was altered, to create another perspective? We just don't know. And I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of these ancient stories, that's all we've got. We don't have anything other than the words of people written down in ancient texts.
Well, maybe the ending of Battlestar Galactica, then the remaking of the TV series, was all true, that the remnants of the civilization looking for Earth landed here over 100,000 years ago. I mean, at least scientists keep finding earlier and earlier origins for the human species, so you never know.
Hey, yeah, you guys, like, I think both you guys are making some good points here. Like, we know that mythology actually predates some of our civilization. We're not entirely sure where it comes from, or at least the topics of some of the mythology. It's like, where did it really come from to begin with? Like you mentioned, Gene, like Atlantis, for example. Well, that was supposed to have been around a long time before even the civilization that invented the myth. So, and then there's these Uparts where they find, you know, the odd strange artifact, like a platinum fastener that seems to be, you know, 100,000 years old. Well, maybe if what you're saying is true, Nick, that they came here a long, long time ago, much longer than simply biblical times, and that would give Mars a chance to sort of become obscured by time, as well as any evidence of their landing here being obscured in time. And then we'd only be dealing with a small number of them, like not their whole civilization would make it, so there wouldn't be a lot of evidence, but we'd still get these myths and these strange little mysteries that kind of fit the picture.
Well, actually, you make a good point there because, I mean, if you look at a lot of these ancient texts, whether, you know, sort of Christian or anything, you know, it doesn't matter. A lot of these stories, we're not talking about, you know, you don't really see many stories where thousands of these giants, you know, roaming the landscape, that kind of thing. You know, it's sort of, I won't say isolated, but to a degree isolated events in the same way that we have UFO events today. I mean, like, for example, Ezekiel's wheel, you know, Moses going out, you know, into the wilderness and communing with God. We're not talking about something like Independence Day. These are sort of small, isolated, random events that have taken on a huge, you know, sort of image, if you like, within ancient religious books. So, yeah, I mean, I could easily understand how a colony, if you like, fled Mars, came to the Earth, and were perceived as gods, and possibly even the Martians realized what the early people had perceived them as, and then they could possibly, you know, sort of turn the tables and, yes, we're the gods, you know, and you better listen to us, that kind of thing.
Well, it was always kind of funny how it was like, yeah, you know, just can you just barbecue me up one of your finest, you know, specimens of cattle or sheep or what you have there for dinner tonight, please, and send your daughter along to deliver it, you know? It's like,
But I think, you know, so it's sort of like a simplified scenario, but the fact is, you know, a lot of these stories, they come from the Middle East, so the India-Pakistan area and South America and Central America. And if you think of it like that, you know, there's still a huge amount of the planet, you know, I mean, you're not really, we don't really get too many reports like this or historical events, you know, coming from, you know, what is now, you know, Russia, shall we say, you know, or Germany or Italy, you know, it's these really ancient stories are localized, and that could explain why, you know, that if there was a limited number of beings coming here, then that would explain the possibility that not many did survive. I mean, one of the people I interviewed for the book was the late Mac Tonis. So I interviewed him about 5 years before he died. So that would have been around about 2005, 2006, something like that. And he actually did think that was a possibility.
We got more to come with Gene Randall and Nick. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. you can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com. And if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Nick Redfern, author of The Martians, joins us. We're talking briefly here about the late Mac Tonies. He wrote a book, a very thin book, called The Crypto-Terrestrials, which was published after he died. And he was a guy in his 30s. I mean, really sad. He was on the PowerCast a few times. Just really, really fascinating guy with lots of interesting thoughts. But certainly, that book had a lot of stuff worthy of consideration. But what we're seeing here is, based on what you're telling us, Nick, is that it's possible a lot of these ancient legends can be traced to Mars. So I'm going to go back to Mars for a second. So we have the face on Mars, or the faces on Mars. If this happened 50,000, 100,000 years ago, whatever, wouldn't there be more traces of an advanced civilization there than we find from our probes?
You're not talking about ancient structures on Earth. You mean on Mars?
I'm speaking specifically on Mars. If all of this went down from a nuclear war, whatever, changing atmospheric conditions, how long ago would it have happened? And it seems more recent to survive the memory or the legends here on Earth, but wouldn't there be more evidence of this civilization?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, our culture sort of very much, you know, built around, well, our civilization, we all know what it looks like. One of the important things is that maybe Mars, you know, although it's smaller than our world, you know, but in saying that, maybe the Martian civilization at any given time was actually not that huge. There's so many people on Earth because so many people have kids. I mean, I'm just speculating now. What if, you know, the Martians had a program where everybody's limited to one child? The point I'm trying to make is their civilization may be very different to ours, you know. So, in other words, if we're talking about a world that went to war, you know, worldwide nuclear war, or if it was something like, as some researchers have suggested, you know, maybe the asteroid belt at some point, that something happened and, you know, a multitude of asteroids slammed into Mars and just, you know, pretty much destroyed it. Whatever the scenario is that you go with, you know, the way I look at it is that both would create mass destruction. And if we're talking about events that occurred, let's say, 100, 150,000 years ago, I'm not really sure how much would still be left, you know, beyond those anomalies. Now, you know, we're still finding those anomalies. And the other thing we have to remember also, okay, it's not as big as the Earth, but it's a big body, you know. And the fact is that we don't really have too many, you know, rovers trundling around the Martian surface. I mean, you imagine a world sort of, say, two-thirds the size of our planet, and you've got one or two rovers to cover the whole planet and try and find what you can. The chances of actually finding something are really rare, but the fact that, or should be rare, but the fact is we are finding a lot of anomalies, which suggests when you go looking, you really do find a lot of these anomalies, you know, which to me does suggest that if you go looking, you're actually finding quite a lot, which sort of goes with the scenario of if you actually go there and look, you will find that stuff.
Well, that's certainly the suggestion. And just prior to the break, a couple of segments ago, I was asking, you know, proposing, and this is actually one of the questions on the sites that sells your book that you talk about in your book, The Martians, Evidence of Life on the Red Planet, asked, has NASA already found such evidence, but has chosen to withhold such monumental finds from the public and the media? What do you think?
Well, if there is a cover-up within NASA, I don't believe at all that the vast majority are involved. I mean, it's kind of like with the CIA and the remote viewing thing. I'm sure 99% of the CIA did not know anything about that because it was outside of their realm of work, you know. Some guy whose job it is to take photographs of Russian missile bases is not going to be told about, you know, a secret program to remote view Mars. So I think that's kind of a similar situation. I don't think the average employee at NASA, if there is a cover-up, knows anything about it. Number one, because I don't think the secret could be hidden long enough. I think the word would get out too quickly. And the other angle in relation to that I just don't think we're actually seeing that. You know, I just don't think we're seeing, you know, a massive attempt to hide material that would really answer the question, you know, was there life on Mars and is there still life on Mars? However, could a small kind of group of people hide something from not just us and the media, but also for tens and tens of thousands of NASA employees? I guess it could be done. I mean, it could be done if all they'd got is incriminating photographs, and that really is all that we have. That would actually be quite easy to hide that, because all you've got to do is shove them in a filing cabinet and make sure nobody ever gets to them. So it's not difficult, but I would think, you know, I kind of make parallels with Roswell. Now, regardless of what happened at Roswell, a lot of people legitimately, we know, we can prove, were working at Roswell when everything happened out in the desert, etc., etc. And they'd come forward. I mean, if you got all these old people from the military coming forward talking about that, why is it that we're hardly getting any old-timers coming forward talking about Mars, you know, some old 85, 95 year old guy, you know, saying, oh, I saw these pictures back in the 60s. A couple of people have done that, but hardly any on any great scale. So that makes me think that if there's a cover up within NASA, it has to be extremely small, and it's hiding probably not much other than highly incriminating, amazing pictures.
Let me ask an overarching question here, and we've got a lot to talk about, and we'll probably have you back on after the PowerCast to continue this and other discussions, Nick. But with regard to all this, is there any earthly reason to keep it a secret, to say, hey, there may have been an advanced civilization or intelligent civilization on Mars? We're kind of sort of hinting that Mars was more habitable. This is fairly obvious from the results of the probes we've had. So wouldn't that be something worth telling people? It doesn't necessarily have to have any influence on our current lives, unless we assume there are Martians now and that they're sending their craft to us. Otherwise, why keep it a secret?
Well, if just the case that, yes, there's life on another world, and it came here, and, yes, we found evidence of, you know, structures like pyramids and, you know, just weird creatures and trees and bushes. That would be amazing. And you're right, I don't see any reason as to why that kind of thing would be hidden. You know, I mean, what's the point of hiding the fact that you found a 7-foot wide crab-like creature? I mean, there's no, I mean, the people aren't going to sort of have, you know, have sleepless nights, you know, over that. They might, well, they might be having sleepless nights for a couple of days thinking how amazing it is, but there's nothing to be frightened or worried about. The only real reason I can think of as to why a small group, you know, this theoretical small group would hide all this and not tell anyone would be because it would impact on civilization. And the only thing I can think of that would provoke huge worldwide, I won't say panic, but certainly disturbance, is the issue of the connection to religion. You know, what if it's proved or this small group suspects that the Martians came to here. Yeah, they were much taller than us. They became the giants of all these ancient texts. And so then suddenly, you know, sort of the penny drops and somebody realizes that our ancient gods were actually not ancient gods. They were Martians. And that means, you know, well, this god or that god was never like a supernatural deity. They were just like us. And then, of course, does that mean, well, if there's no gods, does that mean there is no God? Does it mean there's no afterlife?
That certainly can put an interesting slant on it. We've got more to come with Nick, Gina, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.